time now to catch up with Neha Punia. She's in New Delhi and she's going to be talking us through some of the stories from the subcontinent today. Good evening to you, Neha.
Hi, guys.
Good to have you on with us and nice to have you on for the first time as well, a debut on Drive Live.
Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to this.
Talk us through your first story then and the China-India border sort of standoff still on. What's going on there?
Right. So it's been over a month and a half since this standoff started, and we're still seeing all kinds of statements being exchanged between the foreign ministries of both countries. As far as China is concerned, today you have the foreign ministry claiming that India has begun withdrawing troops from the border. They're claiming that earlier India had about 2,400 troops there, and now that's come down to 40 in the last few days. But India has denied that claim. They've just issued a statement about a few minutes ago saying that there's been no troop withdrawal, and about 300 soldiers remain on the ground. And it's also standing by its position that if there's to be any kind of resolution to this conflict, it has to be a diplomatic one. India is also saying that if India were to withdraw its troops, then China should do the same thing. And it's important because all of these developments are coming just a few days after India's National Security Advisor, Mr. Ajit Doval, was in Beijing, where he held talks with his Chinese counterpart. And back then, the Indian government had expressed optimism that diplomatic channels between both countries are not only open, but also active. And this is important because China is routinely denying this. Beijing says that there can't be any kind of dialogue with India as long as there are troops that are still on the ground. And to just give you a sense of how this started, last month in July, you had the Indian government troops stopping Chinese soldiers from constructing a road on a border area which is close to the northeastern part of India. Now, China takes claim to this area that's called Doklam, and India is saying that it intervened on the behest of Bhutan, which is its ally as well as its neighbor. But almost a month and a half on, the situation on the ground is still not resolved.
Now, Neha, we're looking at the India Central Bank. It's cutting its interest rates by 25 basis points. Tell us the latest.
Right, so it's welcome news for most consumers here in India because that rate cut means that most of the loans and the EMIs that Indians have to pay will hopefully reduce in the days ahead. So there's a lot of cheer in the market. You had the Sensex as well as the Nifty reflecting that as well, and the rupee has surged on the back of that news as well. Now, the rate cut is about 25 basis points, which is the lowest the rate has now been in nearly 7 years, and the government is hopeful that this rate cut will ensure there's more spending in the Indian market. Inflation is down just under 2%, which is not ideal according to experts because Indians should be spending a lot more. And it's important to note the background in which this has happened because just 7 months ago, you have the Indian government scrapping the highest denomination notes, which led to a lot of contraction in spending, and that's not picked up at all. So the Indian government is hoping that with the rate now coming down, the lowest it's been in 7 years, people will start spending a lot more, and they'll start taking loans from banks, and that will bring in a lot more optimism in the Indian market. It's also a move that investors have welcomed because now the Indian Reserve Bank has become the first in Asia in almost a year to cut its rates.
An important case, Neha, in the Supreme Court, deciding if the right to privacy is a fundamental right of all citizens.
Absolutely. And that hearing is just concluded today, but I'm afraid we'll have to wait another 2 weeks before any kind of verdict is announced by the Indian Supreme Court. But this case is pertaining to the Indian government's mass biometric scheme, wherein all Indians are expected to register their fingerprints, scan their irises, and include their financial data with the government. And this has prompted a lot of citizens to say that's a violation of their privacy because why should the government know what their fingerprint looks like and what their financial details are? And which is why the Supreme Court is hearing 20 petitions since the last 2 months. And this particular case, which challenges the biometric scheme, has been going on for almost 2 years now. The Indian government claims that as a citizen of the country, you can't categorically claim you have a right to privacy because there is no such thing, according to the government, in the Constitution. The government also says that the biometric scheme is essential to ensure that India becomes a tax-compliant society. That means they can keep a track on whether or not you're paying your taxes on time and things like that. But as far as citizens are concerned, they're saying that this will only allow the government to track their whereabouts and track what they're doing. Now, just to give you a sense of what this scheme is, it's called Aadhaar, which means foundation, and every citizen has a 12-digit unique identification number where your biometric details are recorded, and the government claims that 90% of India's population now has an Aadhaar card, and you need this card to do anything and everything in India. You need it to get a mobile phone connection, to file your taxes, and to also avail all government schemes.
And finally, Neha, this is an incredible story coming out of Bangladesh. The first successful surgery to separate conjoined twins.
That's right. It was a moment of sheer happiness for the family of Sofa and Tahura. They're two 10-month-old sisters who were conjoined at the spine and rectum. And today they were successfully separated by a team of 24 doctors. The operation was a completely grueling one. It lasted at least 9 hours. And the surgery took place in Dhaka. And since surgery was announced as successful, we've heard various comments from surgeons in Bangladesh. They've called this particular operation as groundbreaking because of its complex nature. And prior to this, Bangladesh has never successfully separated Siamese twins ever. So it's a great achievement for the medical teams there. And the doctors say that the twins will need two more surgeries in the days ahead. But for now, they seem absolutely stable. And as far as the family is concerned, the twins were born to a poor couple. And they had no expectation, they said, of their daughter surviving. But this is also a beacon of hope for other families in Dhaka who have conjoined twins. In fact, there are one-year-old girls now who've otherwise been born healthy. They share the same brain. So the doctors are hoping that they can perform the same sort of surgery on them next.
Let's hope. What a lovely story to end on. Thanks very much, Neha. Great to have you on with us this evening. That's Neha Punia. She's in New Delhi reporting on some of the big stories coming out of the Asian subcontinent today.